Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Friday. It's time to get ready for family night. Tomorrow night, right there in that building behind me, Lambeau Field will host the electric practice that is family night. And the Packers, in preparation for what should be a pretty substantial practice, dialed it back today there at Ray Nitschke Field in shells and shorts. No real physicality, no real hitting, a lot of drill work, a lot of individual stuff, some team stuff towards the end of practice. As Matt LaFleur indicated, they wanted to keep things on the light tip today, and they certainly did that, though we did get some red zone and move the ball there right at the end of practice. Romeo Doubs, man, I know there's been a lot talked about so far in this camp about Matthew Golden for good reason. The rookie has been everything promised, everything advertised. He has been exciting and special at times. But it does feel like he's overshadowed the fact that Romeo Doubs is off to a very strong start this summer. Each and every day, every one of these practices, he is making a handful of really nice plays, big-time catches, including today, where during red zone work, he had Valentine one-on-one up the left sideline, did a great job of breaking just as Jordan Love was throwing the ball, essentially like a basketball move, boxed out Valentine in the corner of the end zone, caught the touchdown, spiked it, went to his knees, and let out a Tarzan yelp. I think he's pumped. I think he's ready for a big season with the Packers. Another guy I needed to touch on, you guys know, I can't do one of these without talking about Nazir Stackhouse, who I did not ask Matt LaFleur about, but Paul Breadle did, and LaFleur did indicate that it might be time for some more opportunities for the young man, and lo and behold, not only was he not running with the threes, he was running with the twos for much of practice, but yes, he did get some work with the ones at the end of practice in team in red zone work. So definitely something to keep track of, because I do think he is going to be part of the mix. If you're talking about the Packers keeping their undrafted player on the initial roster streak alive, Stackhouse is your best bet. He has certainly shown that he belongs, and it looks like the coaching staff is starting to give him more chances and more opportunities with, you know, a little higher up the food chain, so to speak, competition-wise. Couple other notes. Luke Musgrave, stacking success, as Mike McCarthy might say. Really strong practice from Luke yet again after a really good practice yesterday. Had a number of really nice plays, including another touchdown in red zone work. Also seemed to be really on his P's and Q's, so to speak, when it came to some of the blocking stuff they were asking him to do. Obviously, you guys know we've talked a lot about it this offseason. Packers keep talking about utilizing two tight ends, and hopefully that does become a regular occurrence. And a big component there is Musgrave staying available, becoming available, not missing long stretches of the season due to injury. So far, so good. And like I said, that's two really nice practices in a row from Musgrave. And speaking of tight ends, John Fitzpatrick got a little run with the ones today in red zone. Very nice to see. I think some of this stuff is getting the young guys prepped for probably a lot of work tomorrow inside Lambeau for family night. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everyone chiming in already. Bunch of people with super chats. I'll get to those in just a second. But right now, you know, I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. What's going on, everybody? So good to see everybody chiming in. Thank you so much for dealing with my schedule. Going very, very early today, obviously, but did not want to miss the chance to chat with you fine folks. Speaking of chatting, I'll be chatting after family night tomorrow night. There won't be a live stream here on Cheesehead TV, but I will be online after the proceedings to chat with you guys about everything that occurs. And in case you missed the news, the Packers are once again live streaming family night. So you'll be able to find that on their website and I believe on their YouTube page. So you guys get an opportunity to see what's going on rather than just have it described to you. But yes, we'll be chatting tomorrow night, right after family night is done. What else we got here, folks? Chris, thanks for the super chat, man. Appreciate you. Good afternoon, Nags. Wanted to ask this to someone watching firsthand. What have you noticed, if anything, about J-Lo's footwork? I've been hearing quite a few rumblings that he's still doing fadeaways. He's always going to do fadeaways. I got news for all the wannabe quarterback coaches out there. That is always going to be part of his game. It is part of who he is as a player. And because of it, he has certainly, at this point in his career, come to a point where he knows when he can do it, when he can't do it, when it's completely out of the question. But more often than not, it's comfortable for him, and he makes throws. You know who else did that? Aaron Rodgers, quite a bit. You know, I love that people this time of year want to drill down. I understand it. That's why they're at practice and they're repping this stuff. But, you know, Sean Mannion and company are on top of it. You don't have to worry. I will say he's been better on balance as far as the thing I know Albert Breer put out there, trying to throw to outbreaking routes to his left. Certainly been a few misses as well, but on balance, it looks better than it did down the stretch last year. But I think some of that will also kind of depend on who he's working with. Right now, he's got a number of receivers that are banged up. Though Reed was listed on the injury report today, he did participate in teams, but Wicks has not been available. You know, they've had guys in and out kind of throughout the last couple of days. I'm not worried about it whatsoever. And I will say, just was it 2 days ago against a big pressure look, he threw off his back foot a strike to Tucker Kraft in the end zone for a touchdown. I understand the trepidation and the worry or what have you, but man, Jordan Love's really good. He knows what he's doing. His coaches are working on what he needs to work on. I ain't concerned in any way, shape, or form about his fadeaways. Klaus, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Have a nice gig tonight. Go Motelman, go. Thank you, Klaus. Yes, that is why I'm early today. Big show tonight. Going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it down there in Appleton. Nick, thanks for the super chat, man. Hey, Nags. You see Scary Terry is demanding a trade? Pretty wild. Doubt if it's feasible for the Packers, but curious where he lands. Yeah, the Terry McLaurin thing is amazing to me. I mean, they're coming off such a promising kind of reset of a season, and then to have this battle with their star receivers is wild to me. Would have thought you'd have that all taken care of this offseason. But yeah, he's demanding a trade along with Parsons down there in Dallas. And I got the same answer for both situations. No. There you go. There you go. But yeah, as far as where he might land, I suspect both these guys are going to end up in their with their respective teams, right? I think McLaurin's going to, they'll figure it out. He'll end up staying in Washington, and Parsons will figure it out. He'll end up staying in Dallas. It's just one of those things. Every summer we've got a hold in or two, and they got to put it out in the media, and then eventually cooler heads prevail and things get done. I mean, certainly it's worth monitoring, but I doubt anything comes of either of those situations. Dag, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Just told a Bears fan that they still suck. Man, football is back. Thank God. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. That's called carrying the G. Callum, how are you? Hope you're doing well, man. Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. What has Brinson shown so far? I'm really glad you asked about him, Callum, because I will admit, up until today, he had not really caught my eye much. And then throughout this practice, he was noticeably active. There was one play in particular where he burst through the line and caused Malik Willis to have to flush out to his left. And he had to hold up because, you know, Willis is in the red jersey. You're not allowed to touch the quarterback, but he certainly would have had a sack. And I also noticed two or three other plays during team where he was getting very good initial penetration, a great first step off the ball. Like I said, I hadn't really noticed him until today, but some really promising stuff in team drills during today's practice, no doubt about it. Bill, this is great. What impact will Jordy have on our receiver group? You know why this is funny? Because you're sending that from Facebook, so I'm assuming you're kidding about some of these AI posts that keep putting stuff out there like Jordy might join the team or whatever as a coach or as a player. Who knows? My favorite one was the Facebook AI post that said that Matt LaFleur and Ozzie Osbourne were secret friends, and you know Matt was all broken up about Ozzie's passing. Facebook's a wild place, man. I'm telling you, it is a wild happenstance. Parkmaster, good to see you, brother. How you doing? I guess I'll go touch grass during family night. It's a good call, man. It's always a good call. Joe, good to see you yesterday, man. Thanks for the super chat. They hold practice when Andy Herman is out? I know, right? Absolute shocker there. I mean, I get it. Andy, I know, is up north with his family because originally when the schedule was put out, this was supposed to be an off day. But then Matt changed the schedule and, you know, it's not a big practice. It was pretty short today and not exactly, they weren't in pads, not physical, etc. So I think we survived a day without Andy Herman in attendance. We're going to be all right. Luke, thanks for the super chat, man. Please have a beer on me for tonight's Motelman show. I hope to see you guys live somewhere soon, sometime soon. Well, Luke, hopefully someday we'll be able to swing out your way to the West Coast and do a show out there. Hopefully, sooner rather than later. Chris, thanks for the super chat, man. What have you seen out of Baron Sorrell? Interesting you should mention him as well, because today was also the first day I really noticed him. I've been so fixated on Stackhouse because Stackhouse has been noticeable. But Sorrell, up until today, he's been active, but I haven't seen him make many plays or do anything that kind of makes you turn your head or is really noteworthy. But he was in the backfield several times today, and he actually had a really great rep against the twos where he did a swim move and essentially met, I can't remember who the ball carrier was, but somebody in the backfield as they were getting the handoff. I mean, that's what you want to see, right? Hopefully a few more of those, get some more opportunities, and you see a lot more of it. Just love to see that. Yes, Gio, just saw on Twitter, ESPN and NFL have agreed to a blockbuster billion-dollar deal that will result in top media properties like Red Zone moving to the network. This has been in the works for years, like about over 2 years now. It's kind of the slowest dance you've ever seen as far as like two media entities getting together. But yeah, this has been coming for a while. You've seen kind of a slow migration already. You saw Rich Eisen is now on ESPN, back on ESPN's platform. That's all been in anticipation of this kind of, it's not even a merger, but this acquisition. It's going to be interesting to see how things change, both, you know, content and presentation wise. But yeah, that's something that's been in the works for quite some time. What's the story on Hobbs' knee? What did I miss? Lieutenant Dan, he got hurt because he plays football. We'll see. He was a new addition to the injury report today, but all indications initially are that it's not long-term or serious, but we'll hopefully hear more from Matt LaFleur on that tomorrow after family night. But it is funny you mentioned that because I was talking to one of the coaches on the sideline today and we were just chatting. And I said, and he was mentioning how guys were out, whatever. And you know, we both said it always happens. Like there's always a day where suddenly the injury list really grows and there are a bunch of guys banged up. It's football, you know, and these guys are in pads and going at it each and every day for days on end. Eventually guys get hurt. And what you want to avoid is obviously the big catastrophic injuries, and knock on whatever, they've been good there so far. There was one scary moment today where Emmanuel Wilson was out in a route and Jordan Love gave him, you know, go upfield, and Love tried to lob the ball to the defender and Wilson skied up to get it and fell pretty hard. I don't think he could brace himself. And he was lying there on the ground for quite a bit and the trainers rushed out. Finally, he sat up and, you know, very slowly got up and walked to inside the Hudson Center. But yeah, those are the moments that you really worry about. But, most of these injuries are, you know, not something you obviously want to track them. You want to keep track, but nothing to worry about in that regard at this moment. Now, who knows? We'll see what Matt has to say tomorrow, but all early indications are everyone's okay. Big Mike, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Romeo Doubs is the king of looking good in August. I very much agree that he looks good. I don't agree that that's the only thing he does or is the king of. You know, Matt Hasselbeck was the king of looking good in August, and he led a team to a Super Bowl. Also, Romeo Doubs has looked really good in games in the NFL. I don't get the hate, man. Did you miss the game-winning catch in Seattle last year? That was in December, I believe. I don't think that was in August. That's just me. I mean, maybe I get my months messed up. I don't know, man, but I'm just saying. I think your detective work is off there. Bill, what's up, man? Goody seemed concerned about our pass rush earlier, but didn't really address it. Thoughts? They didn't address it with bodies, but they've certainly made some changes as far as the coaching staff goes, and I think how they want to implement some of these guys. You've seen Kenny Clark return to his traditional nose tackle position, and Devontae Wyatt has been there in the three tech a lot more regularly. I think they're working on the assumption that these guys are going to be a lot more efficient and a lot better and on the field a lot more with a new coach who's probably doing a bit more in the rotation as far as keeping his big star players on the field. I mean, Rashawn Gary is a perfect example. You look at the top 10, say, salaries or paid pass rushers in the league. The majority of them are out there 75, even 80% of the time, unless you're Max Crosby and you're out there 98% of the time because you're insane, right? But all these guys are going above a 70% clip when it comes to just plays on the field, right? Rashawn Gary last year was out there like 56% of the time. So I understand, like, it's frustrating when he's not getting the sacks and he's not putting up the numbers, but it's also, can we get him some more opportunities, please? He's your premier rusher. And I think that is a part of the component of what they're counting on this year to generate a little bit more pressure on a regular basis, especially when they're only rushing four. Matt Ramage is here. What's up, Ramage? You're right, man. Dobbs is legit. That is a perfect summation. He is legit. Absolutely. No question about it. Make sure I got that one. All right. Just making sure I don't miss any super chats here. Christopher, thanks for the super chat, man. Has the passing game looked less volatile, if at all, to start camp than in previous summers? Appreciate all you do. That's a really good question, Christopher. I will say it looks much healthier than it did at the end of last season, where every week it seemed so kind of disjointed and herky-jerky almost, right? But yes, as far as even the beginning of the summer, I think last year was a bit of an anomaly because Love missed, a week or so with the contract hold-in. And then it took him some time to, get in sync with the team. And then by then, if preseason was there, they're on their way. They certainly look more efficient this year. They look great today in red zone. But oftentimes, and we've talked about this, in the summer, these kind of first practices, especially the first 2 weeks, the defense is almost always ahead of the offense, just by the nature of the game, the nature of what's being asked of you. You need a lot more cohesion on offense to make things work. But yeah, I think there's no question they look much crisper and more efficient than they have at this point in the summer, since Jordan Love's been the starter. I'll definitely say that. Chris, thanks again, man. I do like Dobbs, just kind of like Love early on in 2023. I feel like he just makes things look harder than they need to be. I hope that makes sense. I get it. I understand. But, man, production is the ultimate. The result is what you're hoping for as far as catching the ball and putting up points and piling up some yardage and et cetera and being dependable. I mean, the Dobbs slander, I'm not saying you're saying that, but is wild to me because it's like whenever, and I mean whenever, they need a first down on third, they almost always have that backside slant to Dobbs. Now, they don't always take it. They don't always call it. But every time they utilize it, I mean, 9 times out of 10, that's a first down. Oh, speaking of first downs, you know who caught more first downs on third down than any other receiver with Green Bay last year? Romeo Dobbs. I get he's not Sterling Sharp. I get he's not, he's not Justin Jefferson. I get that, but he's a really good receiver. And I think because he's not flashy, because he's not a highlight reel, people, I guess, ding him for that. I don't know. It's weird for me, man. It's just weird. He's a really good fucking player. Rick Harris, this is an excellent question. Clifford going to keep his number three job? As usual, this will most likely get decided in joint practices and preseason in particular. Man, I'll tell you what, though. At this point, I think there's a decent chance he does if things stay the same. Air Canada has not been particularly impressive. I was really hoping to see more from him. Now, it is still early. Maybe he turns it on in family night. Maybe he's one of those guys, the lights come on, and all of a sudden he's a gamer and what have you, right? Man, I tell you, there was a play today where in red zone, he backs up, and he hitched like 4 times. Like, he would have been sacked twice. And then he tries to escape the pocket and throws this kind of, I guess he's trying to get over the DB, but he essentially threw it right to the defensive back in the end zone, the corner of the end zone, for a, you know, a pretty brutal pick. And it's just one play. I get it. But it's like, man, it has not looked particularly good when he's been back there. So who knows? Like I said, we're still very early. But right now, Clifford, I would give him the nod in that battle. Portmaster, thanks again, man. I don't like the naysayers spouting the Packers have a tough schedule. All those teams have to play the Packers. We're good. But that is true. And like the other thing that I always love about that discussion is, man, those first three or four games are all that matter. You know, by the time you face a team in November, they could be entirely different, and you could be entirely different, and probably will be. I mean, I know a lot of Packers fans thought that 49ers game last year, that was going to be tough. And the 49ers come in there and they're banged up and totally a different team, right? The first two, three games, that's important. That those are the ones that, yes, they're undoubtedly going to be tough. But, man, after that, no one has any idea. Doug Hype, what's up, brother? Thanks for the super chat. Here's my analysis of this hot training camp. Everyone needs a thirst-quenching carry the G cream ale. This is the best idea I've heard all day. In fact, I think I heard a song about that once.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
That's right. Any excuse to play the song. Absolutely love it. That stuff is so good. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, and sometimes Saturday and even Sundays, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.